Impelled and empowered by our heritage, we embrace this Diamond Jubilee year. We are eager for this moment of destiny. We represent women and young people who are linked inseparably with each other and with God for one object, to promote Christian missions. Our moment of destiny falls in an era of prayer. Our spirit-led experiences will bring us to proclaim our purpose, to seek the things which abide, the things which are eternal, actuating our service and our gifts by prayer. May we stand together as we pray. Our Father, as we stand before Thee at this moment, we come claiming Thy promise that Thou wilt be with us. We thank Thee for this day and for the days that have led to it. We thank Thee for each one here and for those women and young people in churches whom they represent. We thank Thee for Woman's Missionary Union, for her purpose. We thank Thee, O God, for the opportunities that Thou hast given us to serve in our churches, in our states, in our union. We thank Thee especially for these honored guests who have come to be with us from other lands, and for all those women whom they represent along with our missionaries. We dedicate this day, this annual meeting, to Thee, for we pray in Thy precious name. Amen. This historic gavel, which I hold in my hand, was for many years held in custody by Miss Kathleen Mallory, who served for 36 years as Executive Secretary of Woman's Missionary Union. This gavel may well be the one which Mrs. F.W. Armstrong, the President, used at the Golden Jubilee Anniversary Meeting in Richmond, Virginia, in 1938. We therefore opened this 75th Anniversary Meeting on this day, May 6, 1963, with this historic gavel. And since the emphasis for this session is on Africa, Europe, and the Near East, I take in my hand this gavel, presented to Woman's Missionary Union in 1961 by the President of the Baptist Convention of Liberia and the Vice President of that company, Dr. W.I. Talbert. This gavel is a symbol of those first Baptist missionaries who went from this land to Liberia. They went out in 1821, seven slaves who had bought their own freedom, constituted into a church by the First Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia, of which they were members. And this church later constituted in Monrovia, Liberia, and which stands today in that city. How grateful we are for those early missionaries who took the gospel to Liberia. And so this beautiful ivory gavel from the Ivory Coast of Africa, bound in gold from the Gold Coast, we use as the gavel to open this particular session. And now we shall sing together, led by Dr. Claude H. Ray, the Dean of Music at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, beloved by Woman's Missionary Union, for he has led us in other annual meetings. We love to hear him sing. We like to have him in our meetings, for he leads us as no one else in all the world with his superb voice. He will be accompanied at the organ by Mrs. J.E. Lovin, who is on the faculty at William Jewell College, and Mrs. Maurice Hall at the piano.
Certainly it would be fitting as we begin this meeting, this Diamond Jubilee meeting of Woman's Missionary Union, to turn in our programs to the back page as we sing the first two stanzas of the woman's hymn, Come Women Wide Proclaim Life Through Your Savior Slain. We shall sing, please, the first and second stanzas.
Come women, wide proclaim.
Christ, who crowns you with light, praise and adore. We turn, please, to hymn numbered 14 in our convention hymnals as we sing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne. Hymn numbered 14. The wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of God's mind. Hymn numbered 8, like the wideness of the sea. Hymn numbered 8, there's a wideness in God's mercy. We shall sing, please, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Hymn numbered 8.
Justice.
we sing the last stanza, please, unaccompanied? Come, women wide, proclaim life through your Savior slain.
Every map of the world repeats the same story of need and emphasizes our Savior's words, "The laborers are few." No wonder that the women whose hearts were fired by these things are asking what we can do. So spoke Mrs. John Stout of South Carolina in 1888. The small group of women who heard her words on that May Day in Richmond, Virginia, held in their hands the answer to the question. Fearful hearts were sentineled by courage. With joy as high as courage, they launched a new epoch in the story of missions by forming the Woman's Missionary Union on May 14, 1888, and adopted as its watchword 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. Perhaps they would say to those of us gathered here, hold high the torch. We did not light its glow. 'Twas given us by other hands, you know. And thus they speak to us today, and even to the Baptist women in Europe, yes, and in Spain. Mrs. Charles Whitten will tell us of those women.
World awareness is a term that seems to fit perfectly the spirit of the 75th anniversary of our Woman's Missionary Union. Of course, we know that in its real sense, this is more than just a disinterested or an idly curious attitude in this world of such great need, but world awareness links us with very tender compassion and in a most personal way to the needs around this world of ours. It's the very nature of love to involve itself, to become involved in the great needs that surround it. And as we think about the needs of our world, and as we think about the fact that Calvary's cross itself was a cruel involvement of the Son of God, as he bore in his own body our sins, then we realize that as Christian women, we cannot do less. That as Christians in this world of crisis, we cannot do less than involve ourselves. As Jesus himself said, "For their sake, I sanctify myself." I'm sure that none of us doubt that today as we come together in Kansas City, that we stand on holy ground. And we give thanks to our God for 75 years of organized compassion as we know it in our Women's Missionary Union. Thousands of women around the world have benefited and have been blessed in their lives by what our union has done and by the work that's been carried on throughout the world by our Women's Missionary Union. It's my joy today to come to you and report from one of the spiritual daughters of our Women's Missionary Union. I bring to you a report not only from Europe, but most especially from my field of labor, which is the country of Spain. It's my joy to bring to you a report from the Unión Femenil Misionera Bautista of Spain, which simply means the Women's Missionary Union. There was a type of organization in that country as early as 1896, but it was only in 1948 that they were organized into the Women's Missionary Union. And so for 10 of the 15 years of the existence of that union, it has been my happy privilege to be deeply involved in the activities of that Women's Missionary Union. Last year in the city of Madrid, I was president of the Women's Missionary Union of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Now, of course, you know that everything I say about Spain will be against the backdrop of difficult circumstances in being able to spread the gospel. Our Christians for many, many years have suffered persecutions, have suffered many types of intolerance. And so whatever they do to witness for Christ is a bold effort in the face of persecution. Well, last year, I was president of the Women's Missionary Union, and our national union had planned a week of evangelistic emphasis to try to reach the unsaved. We had printed a tract that was particularly of interest to women, explaining the plan of salvation. And our plan for this week of evangelistic emphasis was to have home meetings throughout the city, and then on Sunday, to bring the women together at the church. So during the week, we had meetings at night in the homes of our different members. We had 20 people who were members of our organization, of the WMS. And in the mornings, when they went to the market to do their buying, they carried their apron pockets full of tracts explaining the plan of salvation. And it's a very heartwarming thing to know that before they came home with their meat and vegetables each day, that some of those tracts explaining the plan of salvation had slipped from the apron pockets of our believers into the hands and apron pockets of unsaved friends. Then on Sunday, we brought the group together at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, which incidentally has been closed a couple of times in the last 10 years. And we had our 20 members present, and we had 30 new people who had never heard a sermon, who had never seen a Bible, and who found it utterly unbelievable that a person could be saved and have the assurance of his or her salvation. And how those 20 members witnessed to their lost friends, how they prayed for them and even wept over them as world awareness became very real in their lives. They involved themselves in the community where they lived for the benefit of their unsaved friends. And I'm glad to say that some of those have become Christians and are members of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Now, we overseas, not only in the European Union, but also in Spain, carry on our work very much like it's carried on here. We have high goals, and our women strive to meet those goals. Even though they work under difficulties, they many times are very poorly prepared. I knew a woman who could not read and who was president of her WMS, and she had her grandchild to read to her at home, and then she'd go to the meeting and would repeat from memory what her grandchild had read to her at home. Well, I'm thinking of during our last convention in the city of Barcelona, when something came up about how difficult it was to reach the aims for advancement. And the national vice president, in her speech, in a very humorous sort of way, said to the group, "I'm going to tell you about the owner of a hen house that took an ostrich egg to the door of the hen house and put it there and said, "Now, girls, you just look at that and do the best you can." Now, the thing that has impressed me most, I think, about working with our Spanish Christians and about working with our Spanish women is their faithfulness and their devotion despite difficulties. And I think it's something that could be a lesson to us here in the United States. We've been in Spain 10 years and we've worked with these Christian people and we've seen them faithful under many difficult and trying circumstances. There's a very dear friend of mine in the city of Madrid about whom I would like to tell you. I have told about her on many, many occasions this year on furlough. This woman's name is Señora Nolasca Galán. She is what the world knows as an illiterate woman. She makes her living by going from house to house, washing clothes on a scrub board. She makes about 50 cents a day and her noon meal. Now, she has brought literally hundreds of people into the First Baptist Church as she's worked with them. She can't read the Bible herself. She never had a chance to go to school. But she knows the pages on which the verses of the plan of salvation are found, and she will carry her Bible and let people read for themselves. Well, one of the most notable examples of the fruits of Nolasca's work is what she did in the home of a wealthy factory owner in the city of Madrid. She went into the Calvo home. At first, they were very unresponsive, and I recall that as Nolasca came to the midweek prayer service, she told me, "Pray for this family because they aren't responding. The lady won't even talk to me." But then there came the day on Thursday night at prayer meeting, she reported to me that Señora Calvo had told her to leave the Bible in the drawer where they kept the linens when she left work. Now, she pretended that she was not really interested, but that maybe somebody would come to the house who would like to read the Bible. But of course, in reality, what she did was turn to the Bible and begin to read almost as soon as Nolasca had left the house. Now, she was converted, and she went to our First Baptist Church in Madrid and made a profession of her faith, even though it was a thing she had to do with great fear and trembling. She had been told that we had a statue of the Virgin Mary behind the door and that we had the spittle on her as we went in. She had been told that the devil himself were bodily present in our services, and so she said her legs literally turned to water as she went in the church. But she went in and made a profession of her faith. Afterward, her husband became a Christian and is now a deacon of the First Baptist Church in Madrid. Now, I tell you this not so much to emphasize the Calvo family, even though they have been a great blessing to our work, but I tell you this to emphasize the faithfulness of my dear friend, Nolasca Galán. If she were here this morning, I'm sure you would not find her very impressive looking. She is usually rather poorly dressed. Her hands are rough and red from the harsh soaps that she uses in washing. She is very humble in the presence of people that she calls educated people. And yet there is a radiance about her face, and she very often says, "The Lord be praised." Now, I know that all through her life, she must hear her Lord saying to her, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many." And I'm sure she will hear those words of loving approval as she goes to meet her Lord and has been faithful to him in whatever she attempted to do. Very often our Spanish Christian women and all the members of our Spanish church, of our Spanish churches, say and express how appreciative they are of what the Christians of the Southern Baptist Convention have meant to them. And yet I feel very definitely in my heart today that we owe them a debt of gratitude, that we could learn from them new lessons of faithfulness and devotion to the cause of our Lord. I feel that as we look at them, as they witness under difficult circumstances, as they are the despised minority, we can learn from them. We have some glimmers of hope that the situation in Spain is better. I have here in my Bible the seal from one of the churches that's been opened recently. It was closed in 55, opened in March of this year. And yet, just this past week, we had a letter from Spain from a pastor saying, "The church is finished, is ready to inaugurate, and the government will not give us permission to inaugurate." Let us pray that Spain may have a day of greater freedom to be able to preach the gospel to those millions. Now, Spain has 30 million. Less than 1% of the people are Christians in the New Testament sense of the word. We have 48 Baptist churches. The laborers are so few. And as I come to the final word of what I would say to you today in this wonderful opportunity that I have, I would say, oh, Christian friends who live in a land of freedom and plenty and of opportunity, God knows that we've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. God knows that He's placed in our hands as Christians the most and best of everything. God knows that we have privileges and responsibilities in this world of ours that are unparalleled in the history of the world. May the love of Calvary's cross lead us to greater depths of consecration to Him. May we take the cross of Jesus Christ and deny ourselves and follow Him daily. May we know that the eyes of the world are upon us, and that the eyes of the world, the hands of the world are outstretched to us. We who have the message of Christ are responsible, and may we give ourselves in glad, free, complete sacrifice and devotion to the cause of speeding the gospel of Jesus Christ around this world of ours.
Mrs. W.C. James of Richmond, Virginia, served as president of Woman's Missionary Union from 1916 until 1925. A tribute has been written by Miss Ethel Winfield for Woman's Missionary Union, which will be placed in the minutes. Miss Winfield was assistant to Miss Kathleen Mallory and secretary of the Literature Department of Woman's Missionary Union for 34 years. Miss Ethel Winfield was a dear friend and co-worker of Mrs. W.C. James. Miss Winfield is present this morning. Miss Winfield, would you please stand for just a moment? And let us thank you for writing a beautiful tribute to Mrs. W.C. James. And I shall give an account of the funeral service for Mrs. James. As the organ sounded the chimes at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, January 12, 1963, there came a hush over the group assembled in Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. Then the sweet strains of blessed assurance, "Jesus is mine," spoke to our hearts as the casket bearing the body of our Mrs. W.C. James was brought into the church. That was her testimony, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Lavender and white flowers from Virginia Woman's Missionary Union and Southern Woman's Missionary Union covered her in her last service in the church she loved so much, where for many years Dr. James served as pastor. Her own pastor opened the service with these words, "We are here today to celebrate the passing of our loved one from this life into life eternal. To celebrate the passing of our loved one. To celebrate." Yes, for her, that was the word to use. Dr. Solon B. Cousins, longtime friend of Mrs. James, read scripture passages selected by her, for she had planned the entire service. The solo was "Crossing the Bar," her favorite. Minnie Kennedy James, wife of William Carey James, was born in Palestine, Texas, and grew to young womanhood in that state. In 1907, Dr. and Mrs. James, with their only child, Margaret Lee, moved to Virginia. 2 years later, she was elected president of Virginia Woman's Missionary Union and served 2 years, and then was again elected in 1914 and served until 1916. She came to the presidency of Woman's Missionary Union in 1916 and served until May 1912, following Miss Fanny E.S. Heck and preceding Mrs. W.J. Cox. Hers were years of loving, generous, glorious service. She was truly a great leader. She connected the past with her present and ours. With her homegoing, an era has ended for Southern Baptist women. May we go from this place rejoicing because we have known her, were the closing words of her pastor. Then we drove to her last resting place on a knoll overlooking the beautiful James River and the skyline of Richmond. There in historic Hollywood Cemetery, we took our leave for her as we sang her final selection, "Shall We Gather at the River." Her life was her testimony. Woman's Missionary Union, auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, owes her a great debt of gratitude for leading us in such a magnificent way. As her successor, Mrs. W.J. Cox, has said it, may we rededicate ourselves to follow in her train. And now I shall ask you to stand for a moment of silence. And let each of us thank God for the wonderful life of this noble past president. You may be seated. Mrs. W.J. Cox was president of Woman's Missionary Union, auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, from 1925 to 1952. And this is what she has to say to us today. The Diamond Jubilee celebration of Woman's Missionary Union is coterminous with my Golden Jubilee celebration into the activities and work of the Union in 1913. I came into the missionary field of work during the silver anniversary of the Union. In 1928, as your president, we celebrated another milestone, the Ruby Anniversary. In 1938, I was asked to participate in yet another anniversary celebration, that of the Golden Jubilee, by writing the history of the Union, following in his train. Three dynamic facts stand out for our continued emphasis, she says. First, the basic needs of the world have not changed. They remain the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Second, the gospel message for the redemption of this world has not changed. Since the creation, God has not changed his plan, and for 1963 years, Jesus Christ's message to the world has not changed. Third, the missionary objectives presented by Woman's Missionary Union in its original constitution have not changed. The dissemination of missionary information, the missionary training of young people, and the securing of money to carry out these objectives. Therefore, I would repeat to you on this Diamond Jubilee the same exhortation given to the Golden Jubilee in 1938 as set forth in following in his train. Let us reaffirm that we have a part in the most glorious, the most powerful, the most extensive force in the world, the spread of the gospel of salvation. No other force so effectually reaches and uplifts people and nations. No other force calls forth such loyalty, such service, such love. The task which engages you and your church is not local, but worldwide, nor is its present tense present only. For you and your service are of the past, the present, and the future. All flow through you in missions. Your mission heritage is rich with the blood and sacrifice and life of all the ages. You and your service are a part of the prophecies, Calvary's gospel, persecutions, martyrdom, the Reformation, the Awakening, the dawn of worldwide communications, international and interracial responsibility are yours. These forces should be a vital part of you, motivating and actuating your service. These 75 years are only a glorious parenthesis in the eternity of missions, yet they reveal that life offers you no greater avenue of service than does Jesus Christ in seeking the hearts of the world. So today, as you enter the fateful era of mankind and the 76th year of our organized life, let us not dwell on the accomplishments of our wonderful predecessors, but wholeheartedly, reverently, and prayerfully enter into the coming century with the atomic forces of the gospel of salvation for mankind. May we stand for a moment as we pay tribute to Mrs. W.J. Cox. And in so standing, I'm sure that you would want our secretary to send a telegram to her this morning. Our executive secretary, Miss Hunt, had flowers sent to her early this Monday morning, and a program of this meeting is in her hands as she follows it today. You may be seated. How fortunate we are to have with us in this 75th anniversary annual meeting the one who served as president of Woman's Missionary Union from 1945 to 1946, Mrs. George R. Martin of Norfolk, Virginia. Mrs. Martin came to the Union from the presidency of the Woman's Missionary Union of Virginia. Mrs. Martin led us in a wonderful, dedicated way as we followed her in reaching greater goals in establishing a program of work which we are following today. Not only did she lead the women of the Southland to go forward in a magnificent way, but she also led the women of the world, for she became the chairman of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance. And in that capacity, she traveled to all the continents of this earth and organized the women in Africa, in Europe, in Latin America, in Asia, and in Australia into continental unions. And today those women call her blessed. They love her very much. And Mrs. Martin, we're so happy to welcome you to this platform this morning and to have you give to us your own message. We want to hear from you now. And we want to assure you of our love and our appreciation for your years of service. Thank you very much. This is our Diamond Jubilee, the 75th anniversary of our organized life. We shall reminisce about things that have happened along the way we have come. Some remember faintly the early days, the failures, the successes, the tragedies, and the triumphs. Under brush arbors, or in nearby schoolhouses, or at unhurried conferences at noon while the brethren were at lunch, these women presented and perfected associational and state organizations. Others will remember the days of the Jubilati when Woman's Missionary Union met in St. Louis in 1913 and gave thanks for 25 years of service. A large number we'll speak of the 40th year, the Ruby Year, when the Union gathered in 1928 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to tell of the past and to look forward to the future. Great was that number who gathered in Richmond, Virginia, in 1938, to celebrate the Golden Jubilee. In that wonderful year, we paused at the milestones which mark our journeys, and we prayed, and we sang hymns of praise and thanksgiving that divine guidance had been given all along the way. Many of us will remember our year of commemoration, when in Memphis, Tennessee, in 1948, we celebrated our 60th anniversary. And now we are in the midst of our 75th anniversary. Many have come and others will join us. I have been thinking of what we all have come from, the countries, the states, the homes, the churches, the children. Why have we come? Because we love meetings. because we love to be together, and because we believe in what draws us together. It is quite possible that this meeting may go down in history as a meeting that said nothing very new. Maybe we shall not say anything different in terms of big words to be put on the pages of history. We do believe, however, that God can and will breathe His Spirit upon us that we may serve Him together with a new clarity of purpose, with a new sense of joy and freedom, and with a new courage and power. The course of history runs so rapidly these days that each new day brings significant developments. There are difficulties in international relations, in racial tensions, in misunderstandings and injustices, in mobilization of our denominational forces. It is a time that calls for greatness and certainty on the part of each one of us. We need to discover anew how to develop serenity in the face of crises, how to help fortify freedom, how to help more women develop inner security, to detect areas of concern to us in the world scene, to seek creative ways in which to carry out our purposes. Alone, these would be terrific responsibilities, but we are not alone. We are members together, and we are children of God. During these days, the annals of history will unroll before us, and the story of Women's Missionary Union will become a divine poem of which the history of every anniversary is a verse and every woman a word. Its strains have been peeling along down these 75 years. And though there have been mingled the discords of depressions and world wars, yet to the humble listener, there is a divine melody running through the song, which speaks of hope and love and faith and brighter days to come. This, our Diamond Jubilee, will become another milestone in the history of Women's Missionary Union. In it, we can find new dimensions of thinking in areas we care most about. During these momentous days, we can find new directives. We can come to feel a destiny for our Women's Missionary Union. We shall go away knowing that the one thing we need most is a commitment to the purposes of Almighty God. No one of us knows what God may ask us as individuals or as a union to do. We know, however, that we as women have a more significant role to play than ever before as missionary leaders in a generation like this. During these days, we shall be gathering strength for new thrusts in life as women and as an organization. God is with us. Let us not fail Him, nor each other. O God, grant that these thine handmaidens shall not fail thee.
These meetings do not just happen. It takes months of preparation. The women of Kansas City and of this area have been very busy. And they have done such a wonderful job. I want the chairman, Mrs. C.S. Crinklaw, of all these committees to come and stand by my side. And I shall call the names of her co-chairmen. The co-chairman, Mrs. Edward Cooper. Secretary, Mrs. Ivan Tipton. Treasurer, Mrs. A.M. Hoover. Courtesy cars, Miss Ruth Bradfield. Decorating, Mrs. Edward Cooper. Hospitality and meals, Mrs. Oscar Hill. Information, Mrs. John Markison, Sr. Pages, Mrs. Jen Cruz. Publicity, Mrs. Minnie Henricks. Signs, Mrs. Joel Carr. Ushers, Mrs. Earl Welt. Post office, Mrs. Doyle Norwood. Bulletin board, Mrs. Allard Guerin. Pageant, Mrs. Joel Carr and Mrs. Jen Cruz. And all of these wonderful women, these ushers, the chairman of committees, as they stand here before you, represent many, many others who have also assisted in the preparations. If you would like to express your appreciation to them, not only for what they have done, but for how they look, I will give you permission for once during this meeting to clap your hands. And our love and thanks to all of you, and to you, Mrs. Crinklaw, and to your wonderful chairman. And now to the strains of the Missouri Waltz. You may go back to your jobs and get to work. Now the time has come for organization.
Madam President, I call attention to the change in the bylaws which we voted last year, which now states that the annual meeting shall be open to members of Women's Missionary Union. And I move that the members of Women's Missionary Union organizations attending this meeting shall be recognized as constituting the organization, and that the printed program with any necessary changes be our order of business.
Is there a second to the motion? All right, it has been moved and seconded that those members of WMU organizations, that means every single person here that belongs to a Woman's Missionary Society or is a counselor or leader of a youth organization, attending this meeting be recognized as constituting the organization, and that the printed program with any necessary changes be the order of business. Is there a discussion? If not, all favoring the motion will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is carried. But I'm not real sure that you understood that you were to vote. And so the next time you vote a loud aye or a loud no. I shall appoint our recording secretary, Mrs. Robert Fling, as timekeeper. And now I would like to ask our secretary, Mrs. Fling, to read Article 6, Sections 1 and 2.
Madam President, Article 6, Sections 1 and 2. Section 1, the nominating committee shall be composed of the Woman's Missionary Union presidents from states qualifying for representation on boards and committees. The executive secretaries are elected department directors shall serve as alternates. The committee shall nominate a candidate for each office to be filled at the next annual meeting. Section 2, during the first business session of the annual meeting, the recording secretary shall call a meeting of the nominating committee for the election of a chairman, a co-chairman, and a secretary. Madam President, I should like to call a meeting of the 1964 nominating committee immediately following the afternoon session in room 201. Will you come immediately after the afternoon session, room 201?
Thank you, Ms. Fleming. And now our executive secretary has three delightful tasks to perform. She will introduce some special guests here on the platform. She will make announcements and read some very wonderful greetings to us. Ms. Alma Hunt, our executive secretary.
Madam President, I think I shall start with the greetings, since Mrs. Whitten has already brought greetings from the women of Spain. If we had nothing else to do during these days, we could spend our time reading the greetings that have come and are coming to us on this special occasion. And so we have decided we cannot read them, but we are going to print them, preserve them in the archives of Women's Missionary Union, acknowledge them, of course, in your behalf, and select one or two to be read to the entire body. Since we have been here in Kansas City, two cablegrams have come from the husband of our honored guest on the program this morning. Dr. J.T. Ayarindi is the General Secretary of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. That convention has just closed its 106th session, and Dr. Ayarindi, in behalf of the Nigerian Baptist Convention, sends greetings and praise God's blessings on all of our deliberations. And then on today, a greeting to us on the occasion of our 75th anniversary. Greetings have come from the Women's Missionary Union of Southern Rhodesia, the Women's Missionary Union of the Italian Baptists, of the Portuguese Baptist Union, the Women's Missionary Union of Lebanon. And then we have chosen, Mrs. Mathis and I, as we looked at all of these, the one that perhaps would mean most to you today for us to read. It comes on letterhead with the whole continent of Africa in blue. And the heading says, the Baptist Women's Union of Africa, of which our guest today is the honored president. Dear friends, greetings to the Women's Missionary Union of the Southern Baptist Convention from the Baptist Women's Union of Africa. Celebrating your 75th anniversary is a great occasion, and we salute you at this significant time. Only God knows the extent to which your service in the past 75 years has extended his kingdom. We do know that your witness has been a bright light to draw others to him, both in America and through your mission support around the world. But your work has not stopped there. You follow the Great Commission to teach and train those who have been won so that they too may grow into mature Christians and have the joy of service. We feel in Africa particularly indebted to you. Your influence and methods are felt in several of the countries of this continent. Each week, thousands of African women and children attend Women's Missionary Society, Girls Auxiliary, Royal Ambassadors, and Sunbeams. The influence of Christian teaching and training through these organizations is a leaven among the homes and communities which are touched. We also realize that you have had a major part in making our continental union possible. For this, we are deeply grateful. Our fellowship has already meant a great deal in strengthening our Baptist witness throughout Africa. We thank God for the 75 years of service that Women's Missionary Union has given, and we anticipate an even greater 75 years to come. May God bless you at this special time and continue to bless you as you serve and follow him in the days and years ahead. In Christian love, Baptist Women's Union of Africa. Because we have no registration and all of you are privileged to vote and to sit where you want to sit in our meetings, we did not know just exactly how to anticipate this meeting. And we have missionary registration for the missionaries who haven't found it. Let me remind you, if you're in the audience, that you register at the information table in the foyer. You are given a red ribbon badge, which admits you to this section right to the front. We expected to have you here where you could find each other and where all of the people in the audience could find you at the close of each session. And so if you did not get your red badge this morning, will you do so during the noon hour? Find your place here to the front so that all of us may know where you are. We certainly underestimated how many of you would be here, and for that we are grateful. Every seat here is taken, and so I'm sure that many of the missionaries and other program guests are scattered through the audience. In fact, you have surprised us in your numbers anyway. I sat here and looked at you, and you can't see yourselves, and I wondered where the Southern Baptist Convention is going to come when we have gathered here for the meetings, and all the men have to get somewhere. I believe they're going to have to climb high, for you are already covering all of the lower seats in this arena. We are grateful for your presence. This is a reminder to you to come early, else you won't get a seat when the Southern Baptist Convention convenes. Now, we have, I hope you have recognized, a very special program prepared for this annual meeting. It is a thing that is so special that we feel that we cannot give them away in wholesale numbers. And so we outdid ourselves, printed some extras because we knew that many of you would like to send them to friends and to relatives and to people at home who could not come. And we were going to offer these to you for sale. We have a few of them, in fact, just 2,000 of them, covered with acetate that preserves them. So if you put them on your coffee table or elsewhere, they will not become soiled. These are available to you for 50 cents. The one that you got when you came in the door was available to you free, as you know. There will be none available to you free when you go back out the door. But if you want to get another one, just like the one you have, you may get that in the foyer for 25 cents. That is, if they hold out. For we want to give to each person one program, and we want to make available to you additional ones. But because you have come in such large numbers, we may not have as many to sell as we thought. Now, I know you will find unusual uses for these programs, just as Mrs. Mathis and I did this morning. We selected one that we brought over here with us and in which we are having all of the pages to register. This morning we have two girls auxiliary members serving as pages. Here on the platform by Mrs. Mathis is Cynthia Hall. Cynthia? Oh, she's gone. Well, Cynthia has gone, but she was here. And she's probably gone to meet the other one. Ernestine Bohard. We wanted to present them to you. Here comes Cynthia. These girls are serving as our pages. Two more will serve in the next session and so on through the meeting. We are having this autographed to send to Kediri, Indonesia, to Dr. Kathleen Jones. Dr. Jones, about whom you have read and studied, was a girls' auxiliary member and Mrs. Armstrong's page in the 50th anniversary meeting. And it nearly broke her heart to have to go back to Indonesia last month and miss this 75th anniversary meeting. And we thought more than anything else, she would like to have a program autographed by the pages now 25 years later. We also have in the foyer in little booths out there fresh copies of the 75th anniversary issue of Royal Service with a special gold seal on it that I believe you can see. And this gold seal says, a 75th anniversary meeting, Kansas City, Missouri. Only the people who buy the magazine here for the regular price of 15 cents will ever own a magazine that has this 75th anniversary seal on it. And this you will want to keep. I know how precious they are because I know how many people have been trying to find the 50th anniversary programs now in this 75th year. This also is the 50th anniversary year for Girls Auxiliary, and we have brought a supply of the 50th anniversary magazines, TEL, for you to purchase also at 15 cents. Many of you have these, but it's come through the mail. It has a sticker on it. These are fresh ones. You would want to keep these for yourselves. You would want to keep them for the girls in your churches and the girls certainly in your families. And so will you keep this in mind. Now, having introduce the pages, I have the special privilege of presenting to you five other guests on the platform this morning.